Well, you've probably heard about it. It spread like wildfire across the country and across the world, and it is still burning. And that is the recent news of the new law passed by a legislature, signed into law by the governor here in the state of Texas, essentially prohibiting an abortion after a heartbeat can be detected. Of course, this pushed the always heated issue of abortion way up to the front. On top of that, it was announced that Biden's Department of Justice will pursue a lawsuit against the new law, saying it's supposedly unconstitutional. On the other end of it, the Supreme Court would not put a hold on it and not even bring it up. And so the debate has exploded again over abortion, but specifically, the major question comes up among in the church and among believers, and it's this: can a person who says they are a Christian also be pro-choice or pro-abortion? Now, at Truth Unbound, we take these relevant and important questions, and we don't go to human thinking as for the final authority because it's tainted by sin. We go to God and what He says in His Word, and we're going to do that right now and get to the bottom of this. Hold on tight. Here we go. Hey, everybody. Thanks again for joining us here at Truth Unbound. I'm your host, Walter Swaim. Welcome to the conversation as we do this weekly, looking to see what God says to the issues we face today. I want to thank you ahead of time, if you would, for clicking like, subscribe, hitting all notifications, following, sharing this podcast with as many as you can, especially on social media or however, and I'm humbled that you would do that. Well, let's get started and dive right into this major, important question. So the way the question is basically worded is, can a Christian be pro-choice? Maybe that's not the best way of putting it, to be honest. Of course, anyone can do anything they want. That's called free will. It's something that's wired into us by our Creator God. Even fallen in sin as we are, we still have that. But the question is what do we do with it? The real question might be, should the follower of Jesus be pro-abortion? Or maybe put it this way, how can a Christian scripturally, biblically justify being pro-choice or pro-abortion? Well, let's basically define our terms, okay, so we have a baseline to go by. Pro-choice is defined as the belief that the woman should have a choice to abort her unborn child, usually at any time during the pregnancy, and that no one, including the government, should limit or deny that woman's choice over what she says is her body. The pro-life position is the belief that life begins at conception and that no one has the right to take the life of that child in the womb under any circumstance. Now, we're not going into tubal pregnancies and those issues that are 1% to 2% of all pregnancies anyway. That's not part of the discussion. So we're limiting it basically to even including rape and incest in this discussion. Can the believer justify biblically being pro-choice or pro-abortion? Let's find out. Let's find out what God has to say about it. Because of our limit on time here, let's shoot straight to the basic points, okay, to clear this up. So there's so much that we can say, but we're going to keep it short again, as I said, and draw basically the line in the sand right here in 2 points. Number one, the baby is not only a human being, but an entire living person in the womb of the mother. So let me repeat that again. We're establishing here, number one, that the baby is not only a human being, but an entirely living person in the womb of the mother. Now, you have to understand, and a lot of those on the pro-life side don't realize this, that in the pro-choice community's group of thinkers, many, if not most of the leading ones, do admit that, yes, that fetus is a living human being inside the mother. Now, the medical evidence mounts almost regularly to prove that this is true. But then they move the goalpost to say, well, they aren't a person yet. The liberal pro-choice feminist Miranda Sawyer, a few years ago during her own pregnancy in 2007, recounts the inner conflict with her own child in her womb. In fact, in the publication The Guardian in April 7th, 2007, she concluded, quote, In the end, I have to agree that life begins at conception, so yes, abortion is ending that life. End quote. But then she added this, but perhaps the fact of life isn't what is important. It's whether that life has grown enough to start becoming a person. End quote. You see, what has happened here to the concept of the human being is that they have torn it in two, into being a human being, but then a person. There's this false dichotomy that's created to accommodate their desire to have abortion, essentially, as a form of birth control. You see, if a baby is human life from conception, but not a person until sometime later, then clearly these are two different things in their mind. This is a radically fragmented, fractured, dualistic view of the human being. So now the baby in the womb is human, but not a person. Okay, so who decides what a person is? Who is qualified to play God in that arena? Will it be scientists who change their minds as often as they have during this pandemic? The biologists, the doctors, the mothers, the politicians, even church leaders? Who decides who is a person or not? I mean, really? In a January 2021 article in the Daily Nexus, opinion writer Kiana Perez Granados says that fetuses are, and I quote, an unconscious embryo without any sense of life or thought, end quote. She further writes that according to philosophers like Marianne Warren, they say things like this, and this is a quote as well. The conditions of personhood follow the ability to communicate, feel pain, evoke emotion, solve problems, be self-aware, and have moral agency, end quote. This is remarkably ignorant of even old science that has long proven that babies in the womb do feel pain and respond by trying to flee the very tools that are used on the baby to abort the baby, to destroy their life. And this is seen live on camera. You see, even babies outside of the womb don't exhibit all these characteristics that Marianne tells us are the defining factors, if you will, of being a person. So if the child doesn't exhibit all of these characteristics outside of the womb, to kill one of them is still called murder according to most laws around the world. Is it okay to kill them outside the womb as well as inside the womb? I am so confused. Because again, if they're not a person yet, inside or outside of the womb in their early years of development, then just because they don't fit someone's random arbitrary list of what makes a human being a person, they can be destroyed. It just gets really bad and very confusing. You might have read how in past just a few months ago, a baby of 21 weeks was born, and they told her that they told the mother and father that there was a zero chance of survival. Well, that child is now a thriving one-year-old and just celebrated its one-year birthday and ate a lot of cake. So how does that child fit into someone's arbitrary ideas of what makes a person worthy of being left alive or not? Yeah, it's not working so well, is it? So if you and I are followers of Jesus Christ and He is Lord, let's stick with our highest authority and what He says, who is God, and in His written word, against which nothing He ordains and declares is arguable, optional, or changeable. What does He say? Because what He has to say is final in this. In Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 to 23, this law was included in the law of Moses. If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life. And by harm follows, he means the child is stillborn. It was killed in the womb through this struggle. And then we look in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. In Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, he says, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me before one of them came to be. Now, there are way more verses than this, but in the short amount of time we have, these are more than sufficient to establish for us to see and to follow that God says each person in the womb at the point of conception forward is a human life in person. They are the same, one and the same, just as God created each of us to be, a human being and a person. Those two things cannot be separated. And to divide them is a false dichotomy and just a clever mind trick to sound intelligent and move the goalposts so that an abortion can be had. Each little tiny person in the womb is created by God for purposes he has established and over which no one has the authority to terminate or destroy that life. That alone is God's prerogative. The second thing we want to establish is this, that God does not condone the premeditated murder then of that human being, person, in or outside of the womb. For instance, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, and Deuteronomy 5, 17, he says clearly, you shall not murder. But let's look at just a couple more places to make sure it's really clear. For instance, in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17, it says, anyone who takes the life of a human being is to be put to death. And in Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 through 6, and for your lifeblood I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each human being too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. And then lastly, we see in Romans chapter 13, verses 9 through 10, where Paul wrote, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You see, that child in the womb is your neighbor to be loved and to be protected and cared for. So let's take this one step at a time. Number one, the life in the womb is a human life and person created by God from conception on. Number two, God does not allow the murder of an innocent human being in the womb or outside of the womb. Number three, abortion then is murder. And number four, the follower of Jesus Christ cannot be obedient to God and at the same time endorse or participate in the active murder of babies in the womb at the same time. It's just so clear and simple. Now let's have some rapid-fire questions and comments that are usually made in response to this. For instance, what about women's rights to their own body and medical health choices? My body, my choice. Although it's kind of funny during the pandemic, how you don't hear that being said that much. Well, anyway, moving on. You see, because the baby in the womb is really not her body, it is a separate life in the womb of the mother that is meant and designed by God to be protected by the mother, not allowed to be destroyed by the mother, or anyone else for that matter. To destroy the life of that child at any stage is a punishable violation of God's image bearer, whether in the womb or outside of it. It's murder. It's destroying a life. And there'll be constant things done by those in the pro-abortion or pro-choice camp to kind of get you to look at this over here about the politics of it without looking seriously at the life of a child in the womb, because that can't be argued. And so they deflect and take it down this choice and political and legal argument. And so according to God's standard, abortion does not protect the right of that little innocent, defenseless human being to live in no way, shape, or form. Let me add this. If 50% of births are girls or women, and this is about women's rights, then how does abortion protect the rights of the little women in the womb? It doesn't. What about that child's right to having parents? Natural or adoptive, it doesn't. It doesn't protect that child's rights at all, nor the mother's, really. But what about if the baby is a result of rape or incest? That's brought up a lot as a powerful argument against the pro-life idea. Well, again, according to God's standard, to kill that child is to punish the child for the sin of another grown person. It's punishing them for just existing. They are still a human being and person to be protected. Instead of punishing the child, the rapist or relative or whoever it is who got the lady pregnant needs to be punished. Also, only about 1% of pregnancies are due to rape or incest, by the way. One other thing that is not brought up is that the killing of the baby in the womb does not bring any healing, emotional or otherwise, to the mother. Bible teacher and author Randy Alcorn reports this, that in their book, Victims and Victors, David Reardon and Associates drew on the accounts of 192 women who experienced pregnancy as the result of rape or incest. It turns out that when victims of violence speak for themselves, their opinion of abortion is nearly unanimous and the exact opposite of what most would predict. Nearly all of the women interviewed said they regretted aborting their babies conceived via rape or incest. And of those giving an opinion, more than 90% said they would discourage other victims of sexual violence from having abortions. Not one of them who gave birth to a child expressed regret for doing so. Well, you pro-lifers are only pro-birth. Oh, there's another new one. That's come up a lot recently. Let's cover that one real quickly. In other words, the pro-life side of this is they only want to see the child born, and then they could care less after that. They just want to win the political and legal argument here. You see, this is what they would call a straw man argument. In other words, no one is really doing what they are accusing them of doing. So they create a false person and false action to then knock the false argument down. It's not real. So let's respond with this. For instance, in 2015, data drawn in by 2015, which is about the latest we have, the number of abortion facilities in the nation had plummeted to 739 compared to approximately 2,700 pregnancy centers, care centers. These pregnancy help centers enlisted 81,631 volunteers, accumulating 6.5 million volunteer hours, and there's more. My guess, this has all increased over the last 4, 5, 6 years since 2015. This doesn't talk about the countless supplies, the classes on parenting, the follow-up, the connection to adoption centers, and everything. It's so great a number, I can't include it all here, and we will include some of the links to some of these descriptions and data for you so you can investigate it yourself. And one more quick shot here, and we're throwing this in for free, totally, no extra charge. When you say you don't want to have the government having anything to do with the control of your body and pregnancy, do you realize that laws against abortion actually prevent any tampering with your body and that of the baby inside you? But demanding the government then allow abortion allows someone else to tamper with your body and life, as well as the life and body of the human being inside of you. If you give the government the right to control and intervene into your body or allow individuals to intervene into your body to kill that life inside you, then what's to stop them from forcibly doing so, such as what happened in China for many years? Sow the wind, and you'll reap the whirlwind with this, my friend. All right, so let's get back to God and His Word and the fundamental understanding from Him about this issue that should a believer be pro-choice or pro-abortion. And it is this. If you profess Christ as Lord and Savior, if you turn to Christ at a point in your life and you follow Him and you say, He is Lord, whatever He wants, just like He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, that's what you say you do. Well, then according to God's standards, since the abortion is the murder of an innocent human being in the womb of the mother, then obviously the believer the follower of Jesus, cannot endorse or promote the idea of abortion, of being pro-choice, and destroying the life of that child. It just doesn't go together. Now, there's something else I want to be abundantly clear about, and that is this, that neither I nor anyone else is to be judge of if you're saved or not. That's only in God's hands, and it's solely based on your salvation and position of being a believer and follower of Jesus is solely based and determined by your repentance and faith in Jesus. But your fellowship with God, living in peace and being at peace with God, will be severely disrupted. It will be stopped by believing that you can destroy the life of a human person in the womb. It's a violation of God's word, His commands, and it's a violation of the command to love everyone. It is actually walking in disobedience to God. It's opposite of the love for God and the love He calls us to show for all other people, which includes those in the womb. Well, my friend, let me just tell you this. If you are watching this and you've had an abortion, God is willing to forgive you. And there are people nationwide who are ready to help you through this if you'll let them. It isn't just about the baby. It is about you too. And if you're feeling pressured or anxious about this, then you need to get some help. And the help is there. I would encourage you to contact the Community Pregnancy Center of Pasadena here in Texas, and they can lead you to wherever you are at in the country over this, and to get you the help and the counseling that you really need and the love and the support that you really need. Also, feel free to contact us here at Truth Unbound. Go to our website, truthunbound.org. Or email us at info@truthunbound.org. Believer, if you are examining this and you're beginning to feel something different about this, if you've believed and promoted abortion as a professed follower of Jesus, God stands ready to forgive you, to restore you, to give you a heart of love for the unborn as well as everyone else. And He can empower you to serve Him by serving others. I would encourage you to contact ministries such as Abby Johnson's at abbyj.com, abbyj.com. Her and her team has been there, and she knows what to do about this and to help you through this. She can help guide you through to a better way in Christ and in your mind and heart toward the unborn and the mothers who carry them. This isn't just about determining what's right and wrong. It's about love, and it's about giving the support and the guidance that God can provide through His church and through those who serve Him. We're ready to help you. Well, again, I thank you so much for being a part of this with me here at Truth Unbound. Again, I'm Walter Swaim. Don't forget to like, to subscribe, and to follow, and to share this with everyone so that more of us together can follow Jesus. Because when we do, when we follow Jesus, we'll always follow the truth.